Our gospel reading this morning is from the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 22 through 40. Hear now the word of our Lord. Actually, I'm going to start with 21. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord. A pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for the glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old and had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and there was a widow until she was 84. And most writers believe that that means that she was actually married for 84 years. I'm sorry, that had been a widow for 84 years, and that she actually was much older than 84 by the original language. She never left the temple, but worshipped day, night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all whom were looking forward to the redemption of Israel. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by them in the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth, and the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And this is the word of our Lord. Here we are, the last Sunday of the year. Christmas is over, almost. And we're looking forward to the ringing in of the new year. And I was thinking about this yesterday. My son William and I, and my grandson, not his son, but my grandson of son of Barbara, Alec, and I were down loading up wood that we had cut previous times down in the bottom of the mountain. And I was thinking about the year and all that I had set out this year to do. All the things that I thought that I would accomplish this year, and things that I would, goals that I had set for myself and trying to do. And we simply went down to load my son's four-wheel drive truck up with wood to bring up to the near the house. And I had my Kawasaki mule, that utility vehicle and everything with that, and I had that loaded up with wood. And the woods are very, very wet, and of course it was warm and everything completely thawed, and it's covered with leaves, and the mountain is about like that, the road, and it's curvy and roots sticking out and stuff, you know. No gravel, just dirt and woods, logging road. And my son always have great confidence in his Ford. He says it will go places that my GMC would never think about going. And that he has the best tires and all these things. And we loaded it up with wood. And of course, I went up first in the utility vehicle, and he couldn't even begin to make it up the mountain. I was thinking about it because, you know, the rest of the next hour was spent me going down and driving the utility vehicle driving right into a tree so that I could lower the winch down to him and hook it up to his truck and pull him up another 100 feet. And then I back mine up and go up and pull into another tree. I had to be pulled into a tree, otherwise it would pull me down the mountain in that little vehicle. And I was thinking about it, and neither one of us got particularly upset about it. Nobody seemed concerned. We were quite confident that we would get the truck up the mountain, everything. And I was thinking about that. It was kind of how a lot of things this year and the past years have been. You keep running into unexpected obstacles, or maybe some you should have expected, but foolishly did not. Like, I foolishly thought we could just drive up the mountain, even though it was so wet. But still, when you have the word of the Lord with you, you can, even though you know that it may not be easy, and it may not be as fast as you thought, and it may not be smooth, and you may have to put forward a lot of extra effort and gain some experience that you didn't think you would, that you can have confidence and know that you will make it where the Lord has destined for you to go. How has this year turned out for you? How has this year in your spiritual life turned out for you? Have you made the strides in your relationship with the Holy Spirit, guiding your life, dwelling in you? Or maybe that wasn't a goal. Sometimes it's a goal that the Holy Spirit has that isn't ours, and the Holy Spirit just starts working in our life. Just as coming up the mountain, I was confident because I knew my son. I knew that I could depend on him. I knew he wouldn't do anything, you know, that would allow me to be hurt, and that he was going to, he would cooperate. And I knew my grandson would carefully hook up the chain, and we were using the rope, he would hook that up and tie it carefully, and every time he would stand back out of the way in case something snapped. And one of the things of being in a family of believers is that we know that we can expect to work together towards the goal. We know that we will have problems as a church, as a denomination, as individual believers, but we know that we're not alone. And I thought about that again on Christmas Eve. I was here, and we had the service. We started at 6:30. And then after our service was over here, I went over to Hedgesville because I had the car to... because Debbie's service at Hedgesville started at 7. And so I went over there, and they have a little room where they do their Bible study with a speaker. And so I can go in, and sometimes if I don't get there on time, and I listen to the bulk of her sermon and the end of the service from that little room back there, and I could hear that. And so I was standing out in the narthex, or the outside of the chapel, when they came out, and your son, Shirley's grandson, comes out and everything, and he sees me standing there, and he said, "Oh," something like, he's in our church." And I was thinking that, you know, it is so good that this young man understands that he belongs. And I think a lot of us older folks sometimes forget how much confidence that brings us, how much support that is, and how we sometimes want to do things on our own, but we don't want to, because we don't want to bother our brothers and sisters in Christ. We don't want to worry them. Not understanding that frequently it's a blessing to be called upon. It's a blessing to be asked to help. Sometimes it's a nuisance. Last night at about 10:45 or so, I was walking into the bedroom, and I was heading back towards the bedroom to get to sleep on time, and walk in the bedroom there, my grandson Joe talking to Debbie, and he says, "Grandma," I hear him say, "Grandma, Justin, I don't know what's happened to Justin. Justin came here to church with him a couple times, and Justin's a troubled young man, and you know, seems to have a rough home life, but his mother had called Joe, and she hasn't seen Justin since the morning of Christmas Eve. And she had called his girlfriend, and she hadn't seen him since then either. And so Joe says, "I'm going out to look for Justin." I said, "Joe, it's 11 o'clock at night." He said, "Yeah, but I know places he goes, and there's no phone there. I'm going to go look for him." I said, "Well, I'll go with you." Well, I met with the exact response I expected from an 18-year-old when I said, "I'll go with you to find your friend." And so Joe went alone, but he did agree to call me or text me at every stop. And so this went on, and so about 2 o'clock this morning, I get a text, and I have Justin, I'm taking him home. I said, "Is he okay?" He said, "He's okay." So a little while, I went on to bed, and Joe came home a little while later. Justin is a troubled friend, but he belongs in the realm of Joe's group of friends, and he is there for him. Sometimes he's a pain. One of the things that I have thought about as we have this last Sunday of the year, thinking about, frequently we look back and think what we have accomplished, what we haven't accomplished, maybe what we're going to even put on our list of things we want to accomplish next year. But it's important for us to spend time and think about what we have and who we have. And include in that number the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We came to this Christmas with the usual suspects. We had Mary and Joseph, knowing that they were obedient. But God chose them, good and humble people, not because they were great, not because they had achieved things and deserved recognition, but that God knew that he could use these humble servants. The angels, of course, were there for this Christmas. God's messengers. God delivered God's word to the people. And some of the people that they delivered the word to, of course, besides Mary and Joseph and Elizabeth and Zechariah, were the shepherds. Now, if you were going to choose who to bring the news of the Messiah coming to earth, would you have chosen a group of shepherds out on the hillside? But God chose them. God chose these people these humble people who had absolutely no expectation of anything great ever happening in their lives, I'm sure. They were shepherds. Their fathers were shepherds, their grandfathers were shepherds, their great-grandfathers were shepherds. Their sons and their grandchildren will be shepherds. That's who they are. And yet, God chose them to deliver the message through the angels of the good news of the birth of Jesus Christ. Who else could he have chosen? Well, he could have chosen Herod, the king. But the problem was that Herod was self-centered, evil, and he didn't care for he didn't care for God. He cared for the praise of men. The shepherds were humble and honored to be brought this good news and thrilled to witness the baby Jesus. And they went and told everyone. They had no other agenda. They had no plans for greatness for themselves. They were the perfect messengers, the perfect ones to distribute the good news. This Christmas included Zechariah and Elizabeth. Don't you recall how Zechariah was a priest, and they had drawn lots, and it was his time to go and deliver the offering in the temple, in the inner sanctum. And the angel came and told him about the birth of John the Baptist. John the Baptist, who would be the forerunner of Jesus Christ, telling the world to repent, telling the world to prepare for the Messiah. And Elizabeth, his wife. Zechariah and Elizabeth were old. And Elizabeth was barren. She had never borne a child. And as far as she knew, she never would. And yet the angel told them that she would deliver a child, and it would be John the Baptist. They even told him how he was to be raised, and that he would be the one to bring the news of the Messiah to the world. All these players that are familiar to us, just like the people in this congregation are familiar to you, the people in your family members are familiar to you. We've heard these names for all the years we have attended church on Christmas. And today's lesson, we add Simeon. Simeon was also a very old man, one that anybody would expect to die quite soon because he was very old. Yet the Lord had told him that he would never die until he had witnessed the Messiah, until he had witnessed the Christ child. And once he had, he said, "Lord, I am ready now." And he gave praise to the Lord. The Lord used Simeon not only to tell the good news to the other people in the temple, but to reinforce Mary and Joseph. in the long mission that they had ahead of them, raising this young Christ child in the world that did not believe. And then we have Anna. Anna, who was way up in age as well, was a prophetess. She foretold the future. But she was not a sorcerer. She was not a witch. She was a child of God who spent her days worshiping in the temple, often fasted, and praised the Lord constantly. Our scripture this morning says that Simeon was moved by the Holy Spirit, and he went into the temple courts, and he was there when Jesus was brought into the temple. It says that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. What in the world does the consolation of Israel mean? Did you wonder that when we were reading it? Jesus Christ is the consolation of Israel. Jesus Christ consoles Israel. Jesus Christ brings peace. The consolation of Israel is the Messiah. The consolation in your life is the Messiah. Simeon says he brings him not only to the Jew, but to the Gentile. Now, we read over that without pause, but that was an outrageous thing to say in the Jewish temple. Yet that's what he said. He said he brought him both to the Jew and the Gentile. As this year ends, I pray that you have the consolation of Jesus Christ in your life. And I pray that you allow that peace that passes understanding to guide you and to keep you and to motivate you for an ever closer relationship with the Lord and Savior. You're not alone. We're all part of this body of believers. And we need to feel very comfortable calling upon one another when everything isn't as it ought to be. Don't you know that God used the humble, not the proud, to share the good news on the day that Christ was born? He brought the wise men from afar who were not fighting to make sure that no one took over their kingdom as Herod was. He brought the shepherds to give praise and spread the good news. He chose an old man named Simeon to come and give the blessing of the Christ child and the parents. And probably an even older woman named Anna to come and foretell the difference that this Christ child would make in the world. What has God chosen you to do? How is God going to use you in the coming year, in the coming weeks, in the coming days or hours? What opportunity will God give you to share the good news of the Christ child? And always remember, you never need to do this alone. Because we are part of the body of Christ. We are part of the kingdom of God. And we're never alone, because the Holy Spirit is with us, now and forever. Amen.